Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Awesome, awesome. Listeners, we're back here with Rodney Pierce, North Carolina Teacher of the Year, Social Studies. And we were talking about kind of the responsibility of teaching history and the importance of it, particularly in this critical moment. And Rodney, thank you for the work you do. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's a gift to us and to our listeners.
Thank you.
But it's also really important work that Rodney doesn't do alone. He does it with his students, with his family, with his community, with his history, right? And he brings that to the classroom. As he said, he goes hard. And that's part of this. And you said this, Rodney, that there's just a choice that we make when we're teaching this kind of way.
Yes, sir.
And it's like I always came up with my Detroit teachers, and they would always say to me, I don't remember where this originated, but it stays with me. When you know too much and you owe too much, right? Amen. To not teach the way we teach, right? You know too much, you owe too much to not teach the way you teach, because it's hard. And there are days when chilling effects like kind of rhetoric against critical race theory and accusations that you're making students uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or you're teaching a particular politics, mm-hmm. right? And those are attacks on good teaching.
Yes, sir.
And so, and you're not alone in this, right? You're doing good work with the team. So before we lose you tonight, we don't lose you forever, but before we say goodbye to you, I would love to hear, you know, what our teacher listeners could learn mm-hmm. from how you all supported each other through the great work that you're doing.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a man of faith. I'm a Christian. So you stay prayed up. You stay in your word. No weapon formed against us will prosper. You know, you just have to rebuke the enemy, man. Just let them know, hey, look, not today. Not today. I would also say that my journey in terms of how I've been able to do what I've done, and to be, you know, what some others would deem as successful, it's a combination of things. Whether you're talking about leaning on veteran teachers, those master teachers, learning content from them, learning instructional strategies from them, leaning on them for career advice when you get frustrated and don't know how to handle certain classes or how to teach certain content or how to deal with an administrator who may not be supportive. Just leaning on your vets, those who've been in the game for years, but not just leaning on any vet, leaning on the effective vets, you know, in terms of they know how to build rapport with students, rapport with the families, rapport with the communities. They're known, you know, when they go out in public, they have the respect of the community. And, you know, you want to be that educator when you step out there so that you're not questioned or that someone thinks you have a sinister motive in what you're trying to do. Connect with people at the university level. We're very fortunate here in North Carolina. We have an entity at UNC Chapel Hill, Carolina Public Humanities, which has an arm called Carolina K-12, which offers free professional development for teachers and teaching that hard history. Christy Henson Norris and Paul Benici are good friends of mine. I call them extended family. And they give great professional development that teaches you how to teach this content. They've been very integral to my career. And when you're in those sessions, you meet those veteran teachers who will tell you, I mean, I remember one session, a man literally told us how to handle a complaint from an administrator or how to handle a complaint from a parent who had an issue with what was being taught. He literally walked us through it. Yes. And one of the things that he mentioned was you have to be aligned. You would like to be aligned with teacher advocacy organizations. Mm-hmm. AFT, American Federation of Teachers, NCAE, North Carolina Association of Educators. Madam President Tamika Walker Kelly is a good friend. You want to get affiliated with organizations like that because they also can tell you how to handle those situations. And if there is legal counsel that needs to be retained, they can assist you in that as well. I was also once on the board of the North Carolina Council for the Social Studies, which is a organization that puts on a conference every year that offers professional development through this conference through a variety of areas when it comes to social studies. I presented during the 2018 conference on I was on a UNC Chapel Hill panel with some more teachers, one from Wake County, another from Durham Public Schools. And our session was called Teaching the History of the American South, Confronting a Legacy of White Supremacy. Mm-hmm. We had attended a teacher fellowship at Chapel Hill. We submitted lesson plans and they selected our lesson plans for presentation at the state conference. So you're talking the first time I've ever presented at a state conference level. And I mean, that was an experience in itself. The very next year, 2019, I'm named North Carolina Council for mm-hmm. the Studies Teacher of the Year. And everything mm-hmm. just kind of took off from there. So being involved with those types of entities, you know, getting involved with those types of entities, getting on social media, joining teacher groups, you know, learning from master teachers, reading the work of master teachers, Dr. Gerald Horn at the University of Houston, Dr. Tommy Curry at the University of Edinburgh over there in London, a lot of African-American male scholars, Dr. Cornell West, mm-hmm. are the people who encourage me to pursue this line of work, and not only to be an educator, but to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, the history of Black education in the United States of America, we couldn't just be educators. We also had to be advocates and activists for our students and for ourselves and our communities and our institutions. So that's part of the game. That's particularly part of the game when you are a educator of color in these United States, just due to history. So that's what I would advise someone to do. And that's what I've done in my career. And that's why, again, you know, I'm here tonight. I'm truly an example and a product of the old African adage that it takes a village to raise a child. And not only that, but it also takes a village of colleagues to cultivate a child, someone who's just coming up in the game, you know, as a beginning teacher, and becoming successful. So I owe a whole lot of people. But at the same time, when you say it takes a village to raise a child, there's another old African adage that says the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. Mm. So I think we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful as educators when we deal with these young people. We need to teach them the truth, but we need to do it in a way where we don't alienate them, but we empower them, we inspire them, and you know, we don't make that child feel that he or she is not embraced by us. So that's why it's important to lean on those veteran teachers to learn, how do I build a rapport with this parent who always curses, you know, or who always has something ugly to say to me and I haven't done anything. And you talk to those other organizations, you deal with those other organizations. You go to professional development that's not only in your state, but you go out of state as well, attend those PDs. I have a PD I went to at Mount Vernon, George Washington's former plantation. I met some people there 2 years ago that we still have a group chat with. Go to grad school, get some more education. I'm currently in the New Literacies and Global Learning program and the Master of Education program at NC State University's College of Education. So, you know, I'm learning things there that I didn't know in terms of how to utilize what young people are doing with new literacies and trying to bring that into the classroom into my instructional practice. So as I was saying earlier, sir, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And if you want to truly be effective, if you truly want to be informative, empowering, if you truly want to make a difference, like I'd like to think I have by the grace of God, then you have to put in that work. You have to put in that work. Is this your passion? Is it your career, or is it just a job?
You know, and man, Johnny, you teed that up, and Rodney, delivery. Holy man. I mean, knocking it out, but I you know, I'm thinking about this, and again, Rodney Pierce, Teacher of the Year, and in fact, Johnny and I are going to remind everybody, Social Studies Teacher of the Year, North Carolina, because that matters. But, you know, Rodney, again, thank you for your time tonight on Busted Pencils, the advice you put out there for our listeners, for the teachers, for anybody out there. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I can see why you were Teacher of the Year, man, because you brought it, you sold us not in selling. Actually, that takes away. You helped us imagine something that we thought maybe was going to go away with these threats of you can't do that, you can't do this. And you're like, no, you can. And yes, in fact, though, the community of educators, of mentors, of professional development, of they're there. They're there to support you. They're there to help lift you up. They're there to help give you guidance, all of those things. And so I just, I'm thinking about this and going, man, this is what we want to hear, because Johnny and I, we've had a lot of guests, and we've talked about, you know, the chilling effect on teachers and the fact that they don't want to do this because they're afraid to be on Mother Jones cover for being the teacher that got called out for teaching critical race theory.
Right.
When the fact is that here you are, you know, later and going, no, man, I'm at it. I'm still doing it. In fact, you all don't need to be scared. You need to be empowered.
And there is. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Rodney.
I was going to say, and there is no critical race theory being taught in North Carolina schools. Let me make sure that I say that. What we are teaching is a more inclusive and complete version of the history of not only the world, but of the United States of America.
That's there it is. Rodney Pierce. Listen, thank you, Rodney. Thank you, my brother. We will talk soon, and we appreciate you. More Busted Pencils back after the break.